Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for participating to Safilo Investor Relations event in Milan. We would like to thank you, all the participants in the room and the people connected via call. I will just briefly, summarize what we will discuss during this presentation, as we will go through the preliminary results 2007, and then go through the outlook 2008 to end up with what we expect beyond 2008, some medium-term targets. I hand over to Mr. Gottardi. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. Can you hear me? Yeah. I would like to start by briefly summarizing the full year 2007 results, to then concentrate our attention to the fourth quarter figures to understand what we were able to achieve and the main drivers of that. Preliminary data of 2007 shows that net sales for the year increased by 6.1%, from 1,122,000,000 euro to 1,190,000,000 euro, with a performance that would have been slightly above 10% if we exclude the adverse impact of the dollar that has, as you can see, penalized the result by around 4%. Currency neutral, we confirmed the improvement achieved by the previous year, in 2006, when sales growth reached a 9.8% increase. And we will look in the next slides at the different drivers that explain 2007 results. Gross profit for the year settled at 698 million euro, compared to 663 in 2006. This result was affected by the non-recurring costs relating to the termination of a license, the weight of sales from the American market, less profitable in 2007, and the product enrichment that characterized last year collections. We will come in a minute to the fourth quarter. EBITDA reached 175 million euro, or 14.7% of net sales, growing by almost 8% on 2006. After considering the dynamics of the gross profitability at the SG&A level, we have to add two main drivers, the development of the retail business and the greater incidence of advertising costs related to the launch of the new licensed brands and the renewed focus on some house brands. On the positive side, we're continuing to maintain a control over the general and administrative expenses of the wholesale business. EBIT reached 137 million euro, increasing by 9.3% over 2006, with a margin on sales that moved to 11.5%, with a slightly lower impact compared with the previous year of depreciation and amortization. Net profit reached 51 million euro to 4.3% of revenues, signing a progression on 2006 of 36.2%. We will analyze in more detail these results later on, pointing out the impact on taxes given by the introduction of the new Italian fiscal policy. Moving to the next slide, a snapshot of the fourth quarter results. I ran through the highlights of the quarter by pointing out a top line growing by 2.9% or 7.4% currency neutral. This result compared with a very strong 2006 fourth quarter, which had increased by 12%. Gross margin settled at 166 million euro, at 57.9% of sales and increasing by 7.3%. EBITDA and EBIT registered a strong double-digit growth, with an incidence on sales of 15.7% and 12.4% respectively. Net profit was equal to 12 million euro, with a profitability in line with the full year at 4.3% versus 3% in 2006. Let's now look in more details at the drivers of this last quarter results. Moving to the next slide, we come to net sales, where we point out the performance by market and product. Europe, including Italy, grew in the quarter mid-single, stabilizing the performance against a very strong fourth quarter of 2006. Italy increased by 2.9%, while countries like France, Germany, and some smaller areas like Eastern Europe showed a more marked result. On the other hand, Spain and UK showed a pretty stable performance. Finally, for the full year, Europe increased by 9.5%. And even excluding the contribution of the retail chain Loop Vision, acquired at the end of 2006 in Spain, the market would have increased by roughly 6% in the year and 3.5% in the fourth quarter. Asia confirmed also in the last 3 months a good progression, increasing by 13.4% or 22.4% currency neutral. Taking the performance of the year for the area at 15.7 or 24.1 currency neutral. To be noticed, none of the new brands launched by Safilo in 2007 were significant in the good performance of the Asian market. Americas closed the year positive, also at current currency. Thanks to the improvement registered in the last quarter, that benefited from the contribution of the new brands. Armani Exchange, Marc Marc Jacobs in particular, and from the easy comparison given by the low turnover registered in the last quarter of last year with the terminated license. By product, we were able to achieve a satisfactory performance with the prescription business after 2 years of flat revenues. The plus amount, almost 9% registered by the prescription business in the fourth quarter, as well as the minus 7% in the same period of the sunglasses, are both not significant of a trend, as the read-through of these performances is found in the minus 7 and plus 27 registered respectively by prescription and sunglasses in the fourth quarter 2006. Looking with the next slide at the performance by channel in the fourth quarter, we point out at low single-digit current currencies performance of the wholesale business, growing by 6.8% currency neutral, thanks to the already mentioned wholesale performance of Europe, the increase of the Asian markets, China, Korea, and India, first of all, and the high double-digit increase of Americas. In the quarter, the brand Balenciaga was launched in Europe, but the contribution to the quarter is marginal. On the other end, Hugo Boss, Armani Exchange, and Marc Bomar Jacobs continued in the good performance since their introduction, allowing us, with the result achieved the last quarter, to cover completely, as anticipated, the terminated license. Looking at retail, as far as Solstice is concerned, we opened in the quarter 7 additional stores to take the total network at the end of the year to 114 total stores. The increase of Solstice is more than completely explained by the new opening, as comp sales were in the last quarter low single-digit negative, mainly driven by a weak, as we had already anticipated, October and November, slightly improving in December. The performance has remained pretty satisfactory on the East Coast of the United States, while deteriorated in some areas on the West Coast. Loop Vision added 2 stores and €5 million to the quarter, the first in the year, almost comparable with the previous year, as Loop was consolidated from November 2006. In the next slide, which takes the same picture at year-end, I want to highlight the full-year comps performance of Solstice was slightly negative, while on the wholesale front, our top brands achieved a high single-digit improvement, while our priority house brands, meaning Carrera, Smith, and Oxido, the three of which we were concentrating our product, marketing, and advertising efforts, confirmed for the year a good double-digit performance. Carrera was a top performer, with the newly launched vintage collections receiving a strong consensus in the Italian market in particular. Moving to the gross profit, to the dynamics already described, I need to add the more decisive policy initiated last year to speed up the exit from our stock of those slow-moving collections that become eventually obsolete with a need for us to write them off from inventory. This more aggressive approach will continue all through the current year and is expected to allow us to improve substantially the quality of product in stock, gradually diminishing level of needed accruals. This move has weighted on the quarter gross profitability for roughly 80 basis points. We need to point out the strong increase versus fourth quarter 06 is born from the higher inventory risk provision taken at the end of 2006 for the termination of the license. The year closed with a contraction of 50 basis points compared with the previous year. higher product complexity given by the enrichment of the collections, and an amount of revenues accounted with lower than average profitability are the two main reasons behind last year's result. EBITDA reached 45 million euro in the last quarter, with an incidence of sales of  15.7%. There was a certain containment of the G&A expenses at the wholesale level that counterbalanced the higher incidence of selling expenses given by the weight of retail, whose performance in the last quarter was less supportive of fixed costs. Currency neutral, the quarter would have closed at 48 million euro, showing the negative impact of exchange rate on the quarter profitability. The year ended up with 175 million euro, that with a euro to dollar exchange average rate for the year of 1.37 should have been meant some 177-178 million euro. We are slightly out of the target because we started to record some revenues related to the sales of Slow Moving collections. In slide 10, we can spend some word on the net income. We registered in the quarter 12 million euro, which result allowed us to reach 51 million euro for the full year, in line with our November indication for at least 50 million. Below the operating line, we saw two opposite impacts. On one hand, on a yearly base, we benefited from the considerable reduction of net financial charges that were, as you remember, considerably higher in 2006 because of the non-recurring costs related to the refinancing of the previous senior loan. On the other hand, the fourth quarter in particular had to bear much higher taxes, with a tax rate of 49% due to the negative one-time effect from introduction of the new fiscal policy in Italy. I hand over to Francesco for more detailed explanation on the subject.
Thank you, Claudio. Correct. As you know, the last Italian government has reduced the Italian tax rate on income, the IRES, from 33% to 27.5%. The groups which have Italian companies with deferred tax assets must recalculate these values with the new tax rate, with a difference impacting 2007 result as a one-time cost. This effect, net of the fiscal wage on IRAP, led to an increase of our taxes for around 5 million euros. Excluding this, our tax rate for the year would have been significantly lower at 36%, also thanks to the expected lower incidence of the IRAP tax on the higher pre-tax profit. I will carry on the next slide on the balance sheet on the cash flow highlights. Slide 11 summarizes the most important area of focus for future improvement of the group: operating working capital, net financial position, and free cash flow. Let's see in details where this improvement needs to move from. In slide 12, operating working capital reached 395 million euros, increasing by 9% on previous year, 362 million euros. The main factor that explains this result is the decline of the amount of payable explained by the inventory policy followed in the second half of 2006. If you look at the timing of absorption of cash from suppliers, you can notice that most of the cash out occurred in the first quarter of the year. The reason for that, beyond the seasonality of the working capital fluctuation, comes from the purchases made during the second half of 2006 and paid at the beginning of 2007. On the other hand, both inventories as well as trade receivable were under control. The first slightly increased on the back of the 34 new stores and at the imminent launch of the three new licenses, Balenciaga, Jimmy Choo, and Banana Republic. More importantly, stock turnover and quality of products in the warehouses improved also thanks to the initiated more aggressive reduction of the Slow Moving products. Also, trade receivables were pretty much stable in spite of the growth in revenues in the fourth quarter. This has much to do with the higher contribution to revenues of the Asian and American markets from which we have a faster collection period, especially when compared with average receivable days of some European countries. Moving to slide 13, free cash flow. For the first time, we started to generate a positive free cash flow, mainly thanks to a higher profit. The just mentioned lower absorption of resources from working capital, and in spite of the some higher capex. Here we had stable maintenance investments for roughly 30 million euros, of which two-thirds have been spent in plants, 30 million euros for the retail development, and a couple for the construction and software for the new plant in China. Below the free cash flow, I just want to highlight that last year we paid out the first dividend that is meant to be substantially increased for the fiscal year 2007. On the next slide, 14, we wanted to give a snapshot of the net financial position that closed at 515 million euro, slightly below the indicated 520 million, and around 15 million better than the beginning of the year. Drawing your attention on this composition, our gross debt at the year-end was equal to 572 million euro, 55% of which at a fixed rate. Part of it, of this is represented, as you will know, by the high-yield bond at 9.625%, on which we are continuing in the process of assessing all possible opportunities available in order to renegotiate it with the more economical solutions. I remind you that starting from May this year, we can recall it in advance. Needless to mention that the difficult credit market environment has made more difficult, or if you prefer, potential less attractive this renegotiation. I pass over again to Claudio to discuss expectations for 2008.
Thank you. Before going to the expected economics of this year, I would like to draw your attention on our main priorities that we have started to represent the earth, the heart of our everyday work since mid last year. Detailing slide 16, our main areas of focus on which we are concentrating all the company efforts and resources. We're mainly working on enhancing our strategic activities of product creation and development by reviewing and acting on some important drivers. Product complexity has been increased in the past 2 years, surely on back of a product enrichment request by the market, but we reckon we have space of maneuver to reduce complexity even in times of very glamorous collections. We extensively discussed about the policy started at the end of last year to reduce our stocks from the slow-moving products before they become obsolete. We have also started to reinforce and consolidate forecasting and planning activities, and I will be describing to you in a while how we're acting there. Finally, we're streamlining some production and commercial activities around our best-selling, best-performing models. The main action we started are concerning the needed optimization of the number of SKUs and models, concentrating efforts where most requested by the market, with additional opportunity to avoid a certain level of cannibalization that can exist within products of the same brand. An important step to reduce product complexity is related to the simplification of not stylistic product components, as well as finding the best compromise between creativity and economics. We are then increasing integration with our key accounts, an additional opportunity together with our own retail, to stay as close as possible to the final market, improving forecasting and planning activities. This year, we expect these activities to start bearing some fruits by improving both initial product cost as well as the successive production developments. The actions on the technical characteristic of the product will allow for more standardization of a number of components and consequently to simplification in the development phase. In all we're doing, we're very careful not to affect in any way the perceived high quality of our products and therefore our target consumer, but we're opening to an opportunity for the new factory in China as well. As far as the industrial side of these projects is concerned, we expect to be able to improve workflow efficiency as well as speed of reaction to peaks of demand for single models. Getting to slide 19, our economic targets for this year move from some realistic rather than prudent assumptions, starting with exchange rate of euro to dollar of 1.47 as an average for the year. Let me say that this is the only point on which we would be very happy to be proven wrong. For this year, we expect revenues to grow mid-single digit at current currencies, implying a high single-digit growth of 7 to 8% currency neutral. EBITDA should settle around 15%, while we should be able to obtain between 4 and 5% of sales and net level. One of our goals for this year is to maintain possibly below 3x the ratio between net financial position and EBITDA. We detail a bit more in the next slides on the expected drivers for each of these targets. Starting with net sales in slide number 20, we expect a moderate low single-digit contribution from organic growth given by a more or less flat performance from wholesale and a double-digit growth from the expansion of the existing chains. The recently acquired 77 stores in Mexico and Australia, consolidated from February this year, are expected to generate roughly 3% of the total projected top-line growth. At the wholesale level, we expect the double-digit growth of Asia to continue, also thanks to the introduction in several markets of some of the new brands of the Safilo portfolio. The U.S. market performance is expected to be still impacted by currency. We're taking a more prudent stance on the brands introduced this year. We have basically moderated our expectations on Banana Republic, maintaining the previous assumptions of Balenciaga and Jimmy Choo. Altogether, we are assuming some 15 to 20 million euro from these three new licenses. Europe is expected to continue to show some slowdown in countries like Italy and Spain, while continental and eastern markets are either holding or growing well. We're forecasting our strategic house brands Carrera, Smith & Oxido to keep growing double digit thanks to the focus on product and advertising. As far as our top brands are concerned, we expect a double digit growth in Asia and a more moderate performance in the core European markets. We did not have much scope and eventually did not want to work too much on price increases. As a matter of fact, on the new collections, we either maintained or took prices up by a marginal 2 or 3%. For retail, we expect to gain some 30 new stores from Solstice in North America and a small number in Spain, where we will also complete the refurbishing of the existing network. Among the new stores, we expect the first introduction of our new optical store that will be briefly introduced to you later on. Within the first semester, we are also forecasting the opening of new shops in Hong Kong and China. On the existing comparable stores, we are assuming a flat performance in the United States and a low single-digit improvement on the Spain stores to take into account of the present market conditions. Moving to slide 21, EBITDA at around 15% should result from the improvement of the gross margin based on the projects that I described before. While the first cost of the new Chinese plants relating to training, labor costs, and rental expenses, as well as the prosecution of the faster sales of slow products, should both partially counterbalance this progression. At the SG&A level, we are budgeting, as already remembered, increasing advertising and marketing expenses. As far as retail is concerned, profitability should improve to a mid to high single-digit level, also thanks to the low double-digit EBITDA contributed by the new stores just recently acquired. Slide 22, the net income is expected to be between 4.5 and 5%. We're below the operating line. Financial expenses should remain stable, while the tax rate is expected to improve substantially within a range of 36 and 38%. We are here encouraged by the good potential results achieved in 2007. I want to clarify that in this indication are not included around 15 million euro of potential non-recurring financial charges in case of advanced full repayment of the high-end bond. Moving to slide 22, as said before, we are aiming to maintain financial leverage possibly below 3x. with a net financial position substantially stable in spite of a CapEx expected for the year to around €60 to €65 million, increasing on the previous year mainly for the investments in a new plant in China. Around €30 million for the acquisition will be booked as equity. We expect a lower absorption of resources coming from operating working capital and a substantially higher distribution of dividends on 2007 results. I would like Francesco to add a short analysis of possible trend of working capital in 2008 cash flow.
Yes, thank you, Claudio. In slide 24, we want to highlight the progresses we expect in the working capital for the year, when, of course, the bigger gap will be represented by the improvement of trade payable thanks to the purchases back to the normal levels. We expect then a lower absorption from inventory from the contribution expected from the higher quality of product in stock, as well as from the improvement in the turnover ratio. Trade receivable will be remain under control, mainly thanks to the increased contribution to sales that the Asian markets are expected to have on the total turnover. I pass over again to Claudio for the following slide.
Thank you. I would like to add a few words on the two recent acquisitions that we just completed, the one in Mexico and the one in Australia. Both those acquisitions were in line with our strategic movement of last year in trying to build a worldwide retail organization that started with the hiring of few key people in the world with substantial know-how in the area of retail. We hired a person in charge of the Northern China development. We hired a person in charge of European development. A new person in charge of Solstice in North America started January 1st. We then also tried to expand our network by being able to have some key strategic small retailers in some areas of further development. What we needed is to have the backbone for architectural development, marketing development, and personnel in the area that can quickly expand and move into those areas. The chain in Mexico, while it is probably the best chain as far as quality and of image and level in the Mexican market, is easily expandable into the Caribbean area as well as to Brazil. The acquisition in Australia is for our interest in the South Pacific area. These two chains were acquired with that in mind, with the ability that they give us to expand in areas that are very, very critical for our future expansion. In the near future, as I just said, we are already expanding also in China. We are opening stores in China starting in April, May. Both Shanghai as well as Pekin and Hong Kong, and Hong Kong. Therefore, our continued expansion is based on this type of support. I'd like to show you also just a small picture of a concept that we just developed in the last 7 or 8 months. It takes a while to create a new retail concept. We developed this together with the Citterio. Architetto Citterio is a study here in Milan that is famous for the quality of their retail concepts and environments. This new concept will be the one that will be used in all our optical retail development in the world. It has some very unique design, but also concepts, like you see in this picture, the small camera projecting the image of the side view in the mirror, which are very, very interesting concepts for the retail environment. As far as the production plant in China, we started the construction already a few months ago. The plant should be done by beginning of summer of this year. It's a 30,000 square meter plant, very, very large. It will one day allow us for production of unfinished goods for more than 5 million units. The investment is of €30 to €35 million, and once we go to the beyond 2008 outlook, you'll see that we're expecting about €45-50 million recovered in the cost of goods sold starting from next year all the way to 2012. So looking beyond 2008, with regards to the outlook beyond 2008, we expect to be able to continue to achieve growth in sales of more than 7% with situations similar to those illustrated for this year. We therefore expect moderate, low single-digit growth in the wholesale sector, with better results in the Asian markets compared to the forecast for Europe and the United States. It is true that in the past our performances in the wholesale business have been considerably better. However, the forecast of a lack of growth in European and American economies suggests that we should, for the time being, remain prudent. As far as profitability is concerned, our objective in 2012 is to reach at least 18%, with an increase compared to 2008 of around 300 basis points. This result will be guaranteed by the savings resulting from the production investments in China and from the profitability of the retail sector, which, by that time, should contribute to the growth of the overall profitability rather than penalize it as it has in the case at the moment. In order to reach these objectives, we expect to invest in the next 5 years around 300 to 400 million euro in both industrial area and in development of the retail sector, which it is our intention will account for at least 20% of the total turnover by 2012. These investments are aimed at increasing our operating profitability with a target of achieving as soon as possible an EBITDA to debt ratio near to 2x, thanks to an improvement in results following a substantial stable debt forecast. Continuing the following slides, I would like to separate the expected trend for the retail segment from the development of the wholesale sector. Regarding the stores, as I said, our aim is to achieve at least 20% of our turnover through our retail chains by 2012, through a total number, including acquisitions we will make during this period, which should be of around 700 to 800 shops. To reach this objective, we expect to invest in a retail channel around 40 to 50 million euro per year. Profitability is expected to increase markedly compared to the current situation, both through the lower percentage impact of new yearly openings and because we foresee by that time to have returned to a normal level of profitability of around 15% for those cases, such as Loop, which today do not contribute to the total EBITDA. An improvement in profitability is expected for the wholesale business as a result of the activities to reduce the cost of sales following the opening of a new Chinese production plant, but also thanks to the positive effect following the increase in sales of the house brands. We believe that house brand sales can reach objectives accounting to 25 to 30% of the wholesale turnover in the 2 years period 2010-2012. Turning now to an analysis of an industrial area, I believe it is already clear to everyone then the most important project, both in terms of investment and expected results, is the opening of a new production plant in China, expected for the end of the year. Our objective is to explore some potential savings by transferring to an area of lower labor cost some production phases which do not require a high level of special skills and do not involve the aesthetics and quality elements of the products. The project is aimed, therefore, at moving in this area the initial phases of workmanship of our current internal production, while maintaining in Europe all the activities which concerns the aesthetic treatments and final workmanship of the product. In other words, these phases which truly distinguish the Made in Italy product. The project presents many advantages, both in terms of production cost, flexibility, and the development of our production capacity, in order to best address the expected growth of our business in the future. In the next slide, we try to illustrate the minimum expectation of this project, the initial cost of which for 2008 will be related above all to the training of personnel to ensure they reach a level of qualitative excellence in line with our production standards. The first positive results will be seen as soon as 2009, before the plant's full capacity is reached in 2012, and when we expect to recover fully the investment made. Slide 38 illustrates the expected effects resulting from the actions taken related to the product, and which we spoke about earlier when we explained the projects for 2008. These activities should allow for an improvement of the gross margin of around 70 basis points every year in order to then achieve a more contained growth after the first 3 years. With regard to the net financial position, we expect to maintain the current debt at a stable level in the upcoming year, financing, therefore, the expansion in the retail segment and the plant in China to improve the profitability and greater generation of cash flow, thanks to a working capital which we estimate can remain stable at less than 3% of total turnover. Finally, concerning the dividend policy, we expect to increase in 2008 the payout ratio and to maintain this policy also in the upcoming years.
Okay, we have ended the presentation and we are now available for the Q&A section. We will allow first the question in the room and after that we can go to the question, the eventual question from the people connected via conference call. Thank you. Luca, yes.
Thank you. Luca Tobagi from Horizon Capital. Just a couple of quick questions. The first one is about the timing for the CapEx related to the Chinese plant. You said the total expense should be 30-35 million, if I understand it correctly. You said 20-25 in 08. So how will the balance be split between 09 and 010? And the second question is, again, related to the CapEx theme and the free cash flow guidance, in the sense that is it correct to assume that once the Chinese CapEx is done, the maintenance CapEx will stay flat at 20 million, so all the excess flexibility in the CapEx will be spent on retail. So potentially we could see before 2012 more than 40 to 50 million spent in retail.
Well, starting from the timing of the investment in the Far Eastern new factory, as we was mentioning, we have already spent around 2 to 3 million euros during 2007. We expect to spend around 22-25 million euros in the year 2008 and additional 8 to 10 million euros in 2009. And after that, the capex needed for this factory is the normal maintenance capex for a factory. So moving to your second question, you're right. So we don't expect to invest more starting from 2010 in the production side, and we want to move all the cash flow available or cash available in the retail.
Good afternoon, it's Laura Leonardelli from UBS. Can you hear me? Yeah? I have a couple of questions. The first one is related to your retail profitability at EBITDA level for 2007, if it is possible to have an indication. And then looking at your wholesale sales expectations for 2008 and going forward, could you maybe comment about the different sales trend between your top licensed brands and your house brands? Do you expect a similar growth, or are you focusing more on your priority house brands? And always on this issue, considering your current license portfolio, in your 2012 expectations, are you assuming the portfolio to stay as it is, or you expect further new licenses and to renew the expiring licenses successfully? I'm thinking about a couple of licenses that are due to expire in 2010. Thanks.
As far As far as the EBITDA of our retail of last year, we achieved a low single-digit EBITDA for our retail, mainly because of the opening of the new stores that were significant this year, but also significant the year before. The stores that you have opened for less 1 year normally drag your EBITDA down significantly. And only the second year they start to break even, but even when they break even, still work against you as far as that. So based on the fact that more than 50%, I believe about 50% of our stores were all either new or 1 year old, those dragged our EBITDA down. But that was expected and is part of our plan. That is one of the reasons why we expect the EBITDA going forward to coming from retail to start contributing to the overall EBITDA of the company. As far as the balance between key license agreement brands and house brands, today our house brands are not effective on our EBITDA line because of the strong investment we're doing and starting to get them to grow. The rate of growth they have is much more significant at this point than the average growth rate we have in the license brands. Theoretically, once they reach what should be their potential, which is close to our 30% projected wholesale business that I was explaining before, they should give us a more balanced EBITDA, if not better EBITDA than the license brands. That is the reason why investing in the house brands, besides the fact that the house brands are going to be also very, very important and significant in our future rebalancing of our revenues within our total number. Did I answer all your questions? No?
I was looking at your 1-2% organic growth for 2008 on the wholesale. This includes a couple of percentage points coming from the new licenses, right?
Okay. This. Do 2008 or 2007?
2008.
Eight, yeah. Okay.
So adding up the implied Forex impact you are expecting, overall the wholesale, excluding the new licenses, is likely to grow between 3 and 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the licensed brands...
I don't understand the question.
Okay.
One of the things we're doing this year that we didn't discuss in the presentation before, but is something that we have agreed with some of our licensors, is also the streamlining of some of the distribution that we have in some countries. So some of the sales we have agreed to maintain, not grow, or even in some cases slow down because we have agreed on reducing the number of accounts or cutting out some accounts completely. So we are not concerned about that. That part of the plan has been discussed with each one of the key licensors and is in perfect agreement.
Nicola Bocchin, Rete Gestielle SGR. I have a couple of questions. First one, how do you expect to manage your dollar exposure? And the second one relates to the high-yield bond. If your interest or your valuation in calling it back is mainly related to the financing cost that you are facing due to the high coupon, or to the fact that there are some covenants that limit your dividend payout ratio. Thanks.
Well, I start from this second question. The decision of calling or not or before or later the yield is not related for any covenant that we have in the yield. I mean, the discussion, the analysis that we are making with our potential lenders is only based on possible savings that we could have in the future in moving from an yield to another type of debt. So it's obvious that compared to 1 year ago, the situation on the debt market is much more tough. And the decision to calling it before or later is depending from several reasons that are cost, that are size, and so on. So it's not absolutely related to any covenant that is inside the high-yield indenture. Moving to the US dollar effect or impact, we are increasing strongly the natural edge of the company in terms of exposure to the FX. So while until a couple of years ago we had around 70-80 million US dollar of flows in US from the American countries, and now thanks also to the outsourcing to the Far Eastern suppliers, these flows are decreased to an amount of in average 30-35 million US dollar per year. So actually we have an amount of dollars hedged of around 20 million US dollar, and we expect for the future to keep this amount constant. So it's decreasing more and more the impact of the US dollar fluctuation on our P&L, and actually at the net income level the impact is extremely slow. So it's correct saying that the weakness of US dollar is penalizing our total revenues, but it's not correct to say that we are exposed to US dollar in terms of net profitability.
It was Stefano.
Hello, Stefano Cornegliani from Intermonte. I have a couple of questions. First of all, if you could elaborate on the ramp-up of the Chinese plant, meaning what percentage of your production will be moved to China, what kind of price cost advantages you'll get on the production there, if you already agree with your licensors in order to get part of their production moved there, and what the kind of assumptions you have in your model. And lastly, about the Chinese plant, what's the execution risk behind the implementation of the plan, as it was maybe in the case of the lean manufacturing, which delivered less than initially forecasted. Second question is about the implicit multiples you factored into your midterm guidances when talking about acquisitions, because you put a number on CapEx. It's not clear to us what kind of sales and EBITDA will correspond to this cash outlay. Thank you.
I will answer to the Chinese plant. In the meantime, you may want to think about the last question. The Chinese plant, we started construction beginning of this year. In the meantime, we rented a building nearby where we're doing the training, and we started moving some of the machinery to do the actual sample production starting the plant. We moved there about 20 of our managers from Italy. We are in the process of moving about 20 of our managers in Italy so that we can start production in that plant by mid to end of this year. When I say start production, it means that we're going to start producing some of the parts that are going to be needed by year end for the Italian production to start finishing product to be then sold likely starting January 1st of next year. So there would be no real advantages from the point of view of cost of goods sold in 2008, but in 2009 we will start to have some significant advantages. As I tried to explain in the presentation, that required a way of rethinking how we're making our products, so that certain parts of our products, instead of being manufactured as part of each one of the products, would be standardized in production so that we can use the same parts to make several different products. This is only in things that are not visible to the consumer, is in the guts of the product itself, is the hinges, the structure of the product itself. All of that today is manufactured in Italy with an incidence of cost of labor that is of 70% of the final cost of the product itself. So when you take that part and you produce it in China, even if you're not able to produce at the same rate of of efficiency or productivity, you still have a very large margin to work on. And if you consider that Chinese production today, the cost per hour per employee is about a tenth of the cost of the same in Italy, there is ample room for mistakes. And we have tried to make obviously no mistakes, but we plan for the success of these within a very, very reasonable range of success. So we expect that the 50 million euro that we're projecting from here to 2012, which really is only from 2009 to 2012 in the cost of goods sold, will be in the reduction of cost of labor plus the additional obsolescence that will be caused, obviously, because of the fact that you're going to have to produce in two different plants, and which will add about a week to a week and a half to the production timing. So we try to take consideration all of those elements, and we feel pretty comfortable that the reduction in labor on that part of production is going to be very, very significant, and we have experience on that. The consensus of the licensors. Yes, we do have, we have negotiated and discussed the consensus with the licensors. Today, I can say that 90% of what we intended to produce in China, we can produce in China. We're negotiating only the last 10% eventual products, but it's not very significant to the result.
Yes, as far as evaluation of a potential retail deal in the future, typically considering the size of the change that we are looking for, the system for evaluating the value of a chain is or multiple of profitability or the level of revenues. Again, considering that typically the chains that we are acquiring are owned by families, so in these companies often there are both prescription sunglasses business and other businesses, so it's difficult to understand and to evaluate only based on past profitability. So the system that we are using is to understand if the company, considering the level of stores, considering the potential mix that we can move into these stores, can achieve a level of profitability in the future more than in the past. And we are evaluating much more based on revenues than on historical profitability of the company. So again, the evaluation of a value of a retail chain can move according in different countries. Typically is much more expensive in a fast growing countries, as it could be China, as it could be Mexico as well. Is less expensive in less growing markets that's been in Australia. So, again, is much more revenues in this moment and potential future profitability than historical one.
Yes, good afternoon. Francesca Di Pasqua Antonio, Deutsche Bank. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, how are you going to manage the complexity of the retail model that you are developing? Because it seems to me that you are opening or you are setting small retail presence in a number of geographical areas with limited scope for economies of scale. So have you taken this into account in your projections? And if I may be wrong, maybe you are trying to build scale in the markets that you are approaching, if you can elaborate on that. The second question is on, it's a follow-up from Laura's question on your portfolio of brands. Are you seeing any major risk in your current portfolio of brands? I mean, are you comfortable of renewing Gucci when it expires in 2010? The third question is on your retail strategy and how much you think your Safilo brands could represent in a store, what level of penetration you are planning to reach. And finally, again on retail, are you not worried that the initial investment may entail greater inventory build-up compared to your expectation, because when you're opening so many stores, working capital may become more an issue than what you are expecting. Finally, and it's the last one, goodwill. Your net asset value is highly represented by goodwill. Do you have what visibility do you have in terms of impairment? Thank you.
Okay. I will answer to the questions regarding the retail and the license agreements. I start with the retail inventory. Retail inventory is very, very minimal in value to our company. Let me make you an example. When we open a Solstice stores, Solstice store normally has about 1,500 to 2,000 units on hand in the store. At cost for our company, that is equal to about $60,000 to $80,000 for a store that generally would have revenues in the range of $700,000 to $800,000 a year. The fact that the inventory would be higher if taken at retail value is obviously it's a different story. We, being producers, can consider the retail the value of the stock in the store at the cost to us, which is a big advantage, and that's one of the reasons why the vertical integration for companies such as ours works. To answer also the other question, which is the penetration, what we are experiencing right now is that we can easily maintain a penetration of 60% of the eyewear category without reducing the sell-through by SKU. Once we go over 60%, we may have to reconsider the sell-through by SKU, because we're going to deeper into our collections for styles that are not having the same quality of sell-through we can get from the better products of our competitors. So, and that is something that we test all the time. As a matter of fact, right now, we're testing 6 stores that basically are selling only our products to see what would be the difference. Not that we intend to do that, but it's a way to test and monitor what would be the sell-through, what would be the margin when you make this kind of assumptions. But today, 60% seems to be a fair number in the eyewear category that we can manage without suffering. When I say eyewear category, is that when we are in optical environment, obviously it's different because we have to include lenses and contact lenses. As far as the portfolio, we're very happy with the mix of the portfolio we have as of now. As you pointed out, December 31st, 2010, comes the renewal for the time for renewal for the Gucci brand. We already sat down with Paulette to discuss it, and also with Mark Lee. We don't see any problems. They promised that there is no other discussion on the table with anybody, and we are proceeding. We feel very comfortable. We have 3 years in front of us, but we don't intend to come to the last year, or possibly not even the last 2 years, possibly to come out sooner with a renewal. And it's also in the interest of Gucci, so they're very open to discuss that. As far as the scale, the complexity of retail. Well, you're making a good point that it has been an issue for this year, and because we were managing Loop separately from Solstice, what we're doing right now is really going exactly in line with what you're saying. We're creating 2 brands worldwide. We will probably in the next 2 weeks announce the name of the brand that we will use for optical, and all the stores in the world that will use that brand. We just finished research with Naumann, is a very large company that does the intellectual property research, so on and so forth. So the brand is already approved. It's only a question of making sure that it's registered in every country in the world. Once we have the 2 brands, once the Solstice, which is a given for sunglass stores, and the other one, which is going to be optical, also protected, and once we have the 2 design constructions, those designs will all be done in the same location for all the stores worldwide. So the fact that the store is in China or is in Singapore or is in Brazil really doesn't make any difference. It's all built by Citterio in a plant, not necessarily in Italy, maybe in another location, and being sent over to the place where we need the construction papers. The the approval process done by the local people, then we build everything there. The one area where the difference that you mentioned will not be achieved in a short period is in the area of managing people. The store construction, the equipment, the inventory can be easily achieved because we have already sister companies in each one of those locations, and we can easily use our local inventory and our local software to run those processes. Where we have more problems is in the management of people. The least number of stores you have, the more management you need to run them, and the heavier the cost of the management is on the stores. We tested several different formulas. We need about 35 to 40 stores in any given territory to be able to be to overcome that burden. We already did that in the United States. The only reason why if Solstice would stop tomorrow to build new stores, it will be a very profitable entity. It's just because it keeps building stores that is not as profitable as it could be. But it has way overcome the weight of the management over the stores. The same is now this year going to be in Spain and Australia. And so in reality, once we have achieved those numbers, we feel comfortable. I think the next 2 years will be very, very competitive also from a cost standardization and, you know, complexity for the complexity of retail. Thank you.
As far as goodwill is concerned, as you know, the impairment test is one of the audit procedures. We have made it several times in the past. We have never had any kind of problem on that. And I expect that it will be made also this year in the audit procedures. But based on the business plan approved by the board of directors, the value is considered absolutely sustainable, and there is no risk on that.
Yes, hello, Antoine Belge, HSBC. Three questions. First, on your retail strategy, following what you just said, in Mexico and Australia, the chain that you acquired, they will be rebranded into either Solstice or the new brand name that you're going to acquire. And also in China, which brand are you going to use there? Secondly, on Banana Republic, I'm not sure I really understood what you said during your presentation, that you sort of revised down your expectation for that brand. Could you maybe elaborate on that? And finally, on your three main brands, Gucci, Dior, and Armani, how much of your sales did they represented in 2007? Were their growth rates? My feeling is that you don't talk enough about what is more than half of your business, especially if it's going well. And maybe just on the streamlining process that you mentioned for 2008, these three brands, are they going to be concerned by this streamlining? And also on a geographic perspective, is it a sort of worldwide process or just, you know, one region?
Okay. Let's start with yes. The rebranding will happen over time. It will not be necessarily done in the next 6 months. The idea of rebranding is in the interest of creating the same materials, POP materials, point of purchase materials, as well as merchandising and so on and so forth for all the stores worldwide. Obviously, to the question that Ms. Pasquantonio had before, if I want to be able to have the maximum results in standardization, once I produce a mailing or once I produce some material, I prefer to have the same mailing or the same material produced for Australia as much as I use in the United States or maybe in Spain. So just the language has to be changed. That has to go in line with having the same image, the same logo, and the same materials. So to achieve that, we will go through the change of every single acquisition we'll have. We will go through the change of the brand. It cannot necessarily be done immediately. Like, for instance, if somebody has a great reputation with their own name in their country, what you have to do, you associate it to brand. So that what you have is that, let's say that the new brand is Optifashion, and the actual story is Dr. Gazzu. It will be Optifashion by Dr. Gazzu for a period of time until Dr. Gazzu end up disappearing, so that we can create all our materials and everything we do under the Optifashion brand, which will standardize and reduce our costs on a worldwide basis, because we produce one material for the entire markets we're going after. As far as China, we will start only and exclusively with our own brands, because we looked for over a year in trying to buy retail organizations already existing, and none of them were of the quality or the type of presence and locations that we were looking for. So we decided that the best strategy was to go and do it ourselves. That's why we hired a key manager in Shanghai, and we have already several stores going to be open before June, and we will announce them. As far as Banana Republic, we slowed down the process of introduction of styles in Banana Republic, it was done due to a series of distribution, also approval process on the product with Banana. That will postpone the results we expected for some time. In the sense that if we can only go out with 20 or 30 products when we expect it to be out with 60, obviously our sales will be somewhat diminished. Everything is in line with our contract, so we don't have any problems with minimum contractual obligation or anything. The margins are very high, so we're content with that situation. We would prefer to have a smoother process of approval, but it's not killing us. It's not a big problem. As far as Gucci, Dior, and Armani, the total revenues we generate, let me first be more precise. When we speak about Armani, we're speaking about three lines. It's Giorgio Armani, Emporio Armani, and Armani Exchange. And believe it or not, they're separate contracts. And in some cases, like in this case, they're not necessarily linked one to another one. The Gucci is not the Gucci contract alone, but the Gucci brands are Gucci, but it's also Yves Saint Laurent, it's also Bottega Veneta, there is also Boucheron, Stella McCartney, Alexander McQueen, and so on and so forth. I don't remember if there's any others, but I think they're all there. So yes, we do with those three groups, which one is the group of Pinot, the other one is the group of Giorgio Armani, and another one is the one of Arnault. We have great relationship, and we do about 60% of our total revenues.
If we include actually all the brands that Mr. Gottardi mentioned, we would get more or less
55%
on that level. Maybe.
When you asked me before streamlining distribution, the streamlining distribution is something that is not only our issue at this point. Is a general issue in the more generic issue in the market of optical. That is one of the reasons why we're so strong in implementing our retail concept, because we think that in the next 5 to 10 years, the retail market of optical will be required by the big player in the fashion industry to streamline more their distribution. A very good example that we made several times is that when Giorgio Armani decided to come to Safilo a few years ago, Giorgio Armani was distributed in a number of doors that he considered too vast for his brand to be protected. Today, Giorgio Armani collections are selling in the optical market worldwide more than what they were selling 5 years ago, but with about one-fourth of the doors. That is by their, not only requirement, but what they tell us, because obviously we couldn't know how many doors there were before. We can only tell them what we have as far as doors ourselves. That is something that's been required today by basically all major brands. But when you start the process and when you go through the process, what you have is that when you start closing down certain retailers or certain areas of the market, you likely will have negative sales, because for a period of time you get back before you start building another area. So we already started this year. As a matter of fact, I make you two examples. In United States, we went from 4,000 to below 2,000 doors in DR alone in 2007. I believe in Italy, we went down to less than 1,500 doors from 2,000-something we had before. So we started the process. We agreed that for this year we will reinforce this distribution and is part of the agreements with them. I think I answered to all your questions, I believe.
I'm sorry, I have two other follow-up questions. The first one is related to your sun and prescription business mix, if you could provide an indication about the optimal level in 2012. And then in terms of retail expansion, you are mentioning around 35 new stores for 2008, but more than 700 stores by 2012. So you assume to open more than 100 stores from per annum from 2009. Right. Could you provide maybe an indication if there are some stores or, you know, new prescription retail business? And if you have, more importantly, the approval by your licensed brands to introduce the products in these new stores, considering, you know, the material size of this retail development. Particularly, you were mentioning that for some brands, you are reducing and selecting your current locations. So I was wondering, are you upgrading your network, or are you finding new opportunities for your house brands to reduce your dependence from licensed brands? Thanks.
The store network we're trying to create is of high end to luxury. Some of the acquisition not necessarily falls into that. If when you buy something, sometimes you have to buy the good with the bad, so you have to work on it. That is why, for instance, in Lupa in Spain, our main focus is in the refurbishing of the store and to building new and better locations for the store and closing down the ones that are not at the level. As far as approval process by the designers, at this point the approval is equal for every type of retail you go into. They always have to prove it. In our case specifically, we have not found one problem with our designers because the type of stores we have either opened or purchased so far are above or at level with expectations they have. And it is exactly what is in our interest. We don't want to either buy or open a store if we cannot sell our products in there, obviously. And to answer the question, I mean, when I answer the question saying that 60% of our sales or 55% our sales are by Gucci, Dior, and Armani, obviously, I need to have a store that sells Gucci, Dior, and Armani, because if I don't have an approval to sell those products, I am not able to verticalize my sales, and therefore my margin is going to suffer. So all our retail concept is to be building and to expanding with stores that are of that level that allow us to sell this type of products. So that should answer some of the question. As far as you also asked the question about now I'm a little confused about the question was the approval process of the designers and then also
the mix between the sun and the mix. Prescription.
Yeah, for 1 second. The mix is very, very important. In with sunwear, we can have a mix where we can be vertical at 60% or even better in the stores. It's really at that point our decision how much we want to be integrated. In optical, it's very difficult to be integrated for more than 40% for our products. Why is that? Because eyewear in optical, we represent generally about 60% of the revenues of the store in areas where sunglasses are sold by optical. Like, for instance, if you go to Japan, it would be difficult to be more than 40% because sunglasses are very minimal in Japan. So that's a market where being retailers is very, very difficult for a company like us. But it's great to be in Spain or to be in the United States or Mexico or Australia, where those markets allow us to have a penetration with our products, even in optical, that is very high. But again, if I have to make a choice, I prefer to be in sunglasses than in optical. Why do I have to be in optical? Well, in certain markets, consumers are used to buy the products of sunwear in optical stores. A very good example is Italy. How many sunglass specialty stores there are in Italy? Very few. Why? Because if anybody that wants to buy a pair of sunglasses, the first thing they think, I'm going to go to an optical store. So it's very difficult to be a sunglass retailer in Italy. You have to educate consumers that sunglass retailer is okay. So it's better to be an optical in the optical trade. Now, in the case of Italy, we were not interested to enter the optical market anytime soon because the risk we have of being perceived as competitors, it's risky. But in other markets around the world where optical makes sense, and I made a very good example with Spain before in Australia, we will be in optical, even if sunglasses will be better. So it's a combination. What is the percentage at the end of the game? If we can, we'll be as close as possible to 60-70% sunwear and 30-40% optical in the next 4 or 5 years.
Luca Riboldi, Athena Fund. I have one question about the stock option plan. Could you please remember which are the various numbers in terms of stock option plan for the next 2 years, and if you have any plans of new stock option plans in the next shareholder meetings. And second question, always about management incentives. If I well remember, you have something targeted with EBITDA numbers. If you could be provide which level of management is involved in that. Thank you.
Okay. The stock option plan for the company is attached, is linked, I couldn't find the word, linked to the level of performance of the company, and in particular linked to the EBITDA. As a matter of fact, the EBITDA level of this year was not achieved, and therefore the stock options for the key, for the management of the company we lost it, we don't have it. We think the next few years we may achieve it, but it's challenging and is a pretty strong plan. The other incentive programs are we divided the stock option plan from other incentive programs based on who's involved. For instance, our designers, the people that are in the creative area have a different incentive plans than the stock option plan. Their motivation is mostly in achieving the margin of the collections and the sales for the collection based on plan. So the incentive programs for the key management, which involves me and another, I would say, 10, 15 key people, is mainly on EBITDA.
Two more questions on the retail side. First of all, may I ask you, ideally, you know, looking at the mid to long term, 2012 or so, what is your desired geographic breakdown of retail presence and potentially retail sales? Second, as you mentioned in the slides, operating leverage on the retail side. I'd like to understand, given the geographic breakdown you have in mind for the rollout of the stores, what kind of natural cost growth you are going to have, and therefore which kind of normalized like-for-like you need to achieve that operating leverage?
We expect the growth of our retail concept to accelerate greatly in the next 3 or 4 years into the developing countries. We think that in those countries it's best in our interest to immediately start with the right foot and so expand quickly retail and still focus on wholesale but give priority to retail. So in the next 5 years, likely the number of stores as well as the revenues generated by those stores in developed countries, China, India, Russia in particular, but also Latin America, will likely represent a significant part of our business in the range of about 30 to 40% to the total. The rest will be likely even split between United States and Europe, with some other presence in some other countries. When we speak about the EBITDA level of this of the retail, we expect the EBITDA level to grow every year. This last year was in the single digits, low single digits. We expect this year to go close to the high single digit to possibly double, but start growing from there in the next few years. We think that we can, even with the constant opening of stores, have retail reaching about 14 to 15% EBITDA once it has expanded to the level of 700-800 doors. Someone may say, why would you make in this kind of investments if you consider that your EBITDA in retail would be less than the EBITDA you get in wholesale? Well, in reality, the EBITDA that we would achieve in retail do not consider some of the benefits that retail will give us as wholesalers. And if I could put a number on the marketing benefit that this retail operator will give us to us as a wholesaler, I could likely say that there are going to be significant values added that cannot be quantified because they are in image and presence in the market, but can help significantly wholesale. So while I'm telling you 14, 15 is likely to be the numbers of EBITDA, it will have a strong impact on the opportunity growth of wholesale as well. I don't know if I don't see you. Windows. Let me explain it. It is easier. Let me make you the example of North America. In North America, I have 120 doors right now. 120 doors. If I put a Gucci window in 120 doors in all the key locations of United States, is equal to probably a campaign in newspapers of about $2 million. And if I do it in an entire year, likely it's a $10 million campaign to $12 million campaign. That you could somehow put a value on, but it's difficult to quantify it.
Okay, no, this is fine. But in terms of the cost directly related to operating the stores, and in particular, if we look at developing countries, you know, the cost of the personnel who is working in the store. I mean, is it reasonable to assume that this is going to drive the like-for-like cost growth in the mid to high single-digit rate? Mostly driven by, I don't know, wages of people working in the store, rather than keeping it, I don't know, in the 3-4% range.
If you are speaking about the increase of cost of people of or headquarters in these countries, as in Mexico or other countries, the expectations are that the cost should increase as in the all other business on the wholesale. So in terms of operating leverage, perhaps if I understand well your question, what we expect is that at level of store, the profitability could be in the range between 15 and 20% in average. That should decline for achieving in 5 years the 13-15% because the cost of headquarters for managing these companies will decline substantially as soon as we will achieve a level of number of stores that could move from 30 to at least 50 stores per country. Yes, have I understood well your question? Okay.
Good afternoon, Escudi, Casa Lombarda. I have two questions. Can you please qualify your locations in terms of prime location? How many you think are in the right place today in terms of position, if there are 50, 70% of what you think is your right target? And my second question is, can you elaborate a little bit on the average ticket you've seen in the last 2 months in the trend in the US, in Europe, and in Asia, if you see some worsening or stability? Thank you.
Today, I can say is that we probably are about 75% of the locations are the right location where we should be, mainly because of the acquisition of Loop carried a significant number of locations that weren't the right ones. But if we take, for instance, Solstice, Solstice is probably 98%, 97% right locations. We may have made some mistakes, but they're fairly rare. As far as average price, there is a reduction in average transaction that we have seen over the last 6 to 8 months. But I wouldn't necessarily say that it is because of the fact that the economies are weakening. There is a trend in the in our market, especially in sunglasses, for a simpler design. Simpler design means that the excessive design trend that we had during the last 3-4 years had somehow flattened, and now is coming back to a more classic, sophisticated design. That reflects in a slightly lower price point, but it also reflects in theoretically long term in a higher margin if we can take advantage of it. So it's I wouldn't say it is necessarily just for economical reason. I think it's a trend in design in our area.
Domenico Ghilotti from Euromobiliare. You set some priorities in terms of better inventory turnover, reducing complexities and SKUs. And what have you done? So what could you give some colors in terms, yes, of what have already been in your, let's say, in your 2007 actions, just to understand, these targets?
Okay. As you've seen before in the presentation, we had some better numbers in our working capital, and in the presentation we spoke about, I believe we did, the lower level of inventory. That was achieved in two different ways. One way was that what we have started to do about a year ago when I joined the company was working with our design development department on making sure that we would be able to produce products using similar parts into the process. Now, it seems something very easy, something simple to achieve, but it's not, because you're working with designers and you're working also with outside designers, you know, Giorgio Armani, Gucci, Dior. When they request a specific design or they want to see something, it's very difficult to convince them to just stay within a logical choice, if that is reducing our cost. The logical choice may help us, but may not automatically help them, because they want to have always the best looking and the richer products. Well, we started doing that, and we started convincing also our partners that it was ultimately their convenience if we were going to have a product that was more marginal, because the more marginal the product was, the easier was for us to sell it at the right price point, as well as produce it in quantity that allow us to get the maximum possible service to the consumer. Those are things that are normally not very easy to explain, but they're very logical. Obviously, if my cost is very high, I'm going to be slow in putting it in production, maintaining the level of inventory that I need in the stores, and therefore, if potential of high sales could be achieved, it could be missed because my cost is high. And it was understood, and we started working in that direction. That brought two things to us. First, we were able to reduce the obsolete inventory. Second, to run a little faster our inventory. Third, to reduce our working capital, obviously. And it all boiled down to the results we got at the end of this year, where we were able to reduce our debt a little bit. We were able to increase our cash flow a little bit. All the little things that help. Now, it's the start of a process. It's not the end of the process. We needed to prove the point to our organization, to the people working with us, to our designers, and so on and so forth. During this year, this is a very important part of the process. Also, because this part of the process makes it easier for us to start production in China. Because at that point, China can easily continue production and ship to us the products, the parts that we need to start to continue the production in Italy. The more it's streamlined, the better will be. The more the streamline works to our efficiency of production, the more we're going to be able to reduce obsolescence, increase cost, decrease cost of goods sold, and be more efficient in the market. Did I add enough color? Thank you. Yes.
Chiellini Foldo, Albatros. Good afternoon. I have a question on long-term targets. I made a couple of calculations on the number you provided. It seems that you will end up 2012 with around 275, 280 million EBITDA, if I'm not wrong. Please, if you can confirm that. I was wondering what will be the use of cash flow you're going to generate in these 5 years, given that, considering your targets, you will still have 540 million net debt around. I mean, you said you will have 2x EBITDA, net debt to EBITDA. So I was willing to know how you will use your cash flow, whether you will substantially increase your dividend or something that I'm missing. Thanks. Well,
the assumption that we have put in this presentation is that we expect in the next 5 years to keep more or less the debt as it is actually. So that means that the cash flow that we expect to generate in the next 5 years through the improvement of profitability and through a better management of working capital will be fully invested in the first in the Chinese factory and in the following years in the retail through new direct openings or acquisitions. On the other side, you are also right saying that we expect starting from this year to increase substantially our dividend policy, and that is something that is expected to happen not only in 2008 but also in the coming years, having a dividend yield that is much higher than what we did last year.
€170 million. Thanks. Do you agree with me on numbers? I mean, €170 million EBITDA for 2012 will be a number which can sound achievable, or?
Yes, it.
Sorry, assuming the kind of average growth rate that we included in this medium-term target and the 17-18 range, you would definitely come around that number. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
One follow-up question, if I may. Considering the uncertainties of the current environment, wouldn't it be better to pay down debt instead of increasing the dividend?
Well, the decision about the dividend yield, first of all, is a decision that will be taken from the board of directors at the end of March. So this is the reason why we are not speaking about exact numbers. I believe that considering that the amount of dividend that we have distributed last year has been extremely small, will be substantially higher. We say that our shareholders, all shareholders, expect that the cash that they could have from the shares could be in the next future substantially higher than what they had last year. The choice of investing in the company or distributing dividend is something that is also related from the leverage of the company, and actually being a 3x EBITDA is not a huge debt based on the history of the company. So what I expect in the future is a mix, considering what we are planning to invest in potential new deals or needs of shareholders of receiving cash.
Maybe we can allow some questions if there are from the conference call. Operator?
The first question is from Mr. Olivier Mounier of Fortis Investment. Please go ahead, sir. Yes, hello, good afternoon. I would just like to come back on the bond buyback prospect. I just wanted to know whether, you know, you're still confident that you can manage to buy back your bonds, potentially in May using the first call available, and, you know, whether you're close to finalizing the funding given, you know, the more difficult credit market condition you discussed about previously. If it's too difficult to, you know, do it in with such short notice or for the whole of the outstanding, will you consider, you know, buying back the share, the bond, sorry, at a later stage, maybe for a small part of, just part of the outstanding? And, just to get a bit more clarity on, your guidance for like-for-like sales, could you, possibly split by region, the types of like-for-like sales you would expect in 08? Thank you.
I think, sorry, we got the first question, maybe not the second one, so we will ask you to maybe to repeat on the first one, Francesco.
Yeah, if I well understood, the question was about the high yield and our decision to recall it in the next future. As I was saying before, we have the first opportunity of calling the high yield May 15 of this year, but we have the freedom since this date to call it as soon as we want, so we don't need to take mandatory this window and not to do it in the future. So what we are doing is to work with some potential lenders on the finding an alternative to the AHIL that is with undoubtedly an expensive debt, but in the decision of calling it, we want to be sure that the new debt is the best solution, not only for the short term, but also for the medium-long terms in terms of our needs of total debt in terms of size. So it's too early now for saying if we will call it in the 15th of May. What I can say is that we could do it the 15th of May or June or in 6 months. We can do as soon as we want without any obligation. It's totally up to our decision for the best of the company.
Can you actually repeat the second question? Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to know, if you cannot do it or if you decided the funding doesn't make any sense in comparison to, you know, what you pay on the high-yield bond, would you consider at a later stage maybe drawing on the your revolving credit facility and paying back just maybe half of the bond or, you know, a part of the bond? And my other last question was on the sales guidance. Could you please split it by region for 08? Thank you.
Well, in terms of high yield, I don't expect that we will use our actual lines available for calling the bond, surely not revolving or this type of lines. And as well, I don't expect that we will reimburse it partially in the next month. We could do, but it's not the first option that we have actually in our desk.
Okay, so it's either you buy back all the bonds or nothing?
We have the freedom for calling also partially it. What we are looking for is a solution for 100% of the bond. So it's not our priority to reimburse part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we couldn't do. But that depends from the option that we have on this side. But that the message that I wanted to give for sure is that we don't want to reimburse it as soon as possible at any cost or at any size.
Mm-hmm.
We will do in the best way for the company, looking to the medium to long time.
As far as the how we expect to grow in 2008, during the presentation before, I was mentioning that we think that the potential of wholesale growth in Europe is in the low single digits. We expect to be in double digits, likely in the range of about 15 to 20% in Asia and in emerging markets, and to be more or less flat in the on the American market. We expect, obviously, the retail instead to grow significantly in the range of less than what we have experienced the year last year. So in the range of 35-40%.
Okay, thank you. I missed that. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Peter Farren of Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. I have a few questions. Firstly, on the tax rate, you said 2007 tax rate 36%, excluding the exceptional item in Q4. Why then are you guiding for 36-38 in 2008, given that you'll be benefiting from a positive geographic mix and you have the positive IRAP element as well? Second question, will you be announcing any restructuring plans in your European factories once the Chinese factory is fully operational? And thirdly, did I hear correctly that you're aiming for a high single-digit EBITDA margin for your retail division in 2008?
Okay. Let me first answer the question about production. There is really no restructuring needed for the production plants in Italy. We will just move in China some phases of our production as well as bring into our factory in China a lot of the production that today we outsource to other productions that are present in Italy or in, for instance, Switzerland. So majority of what we're going to be done in China is either production that is done already outside of Safilo plants or is in our plants but don't take major space as far as the production plant sizes. We think that the growth of sales that we will achieve in the next 3-4 years will also allow us to maintain a certain stability in the number of people in our factories in Italy. Taking also in consideration that more or less 7 or 8% of our resources in our plants in Italy tends to leave the company anyway, either because of age or because of changing of residential status or others, either because they get married or because they move in another location. So with a diminishing number of 7 or 8% direct labor resources over the next 3-4 years per year in Italy, as well as to bringing in production that today is are outsourced in Italy, we think that the China production will not require any major significant changes in our productions in our factories in Italy.
As far as tax rate is concerned, the reason why we have put in the presentation a tax rate expected for the coming years of 36-38 is mainly in a prudent approach based on the fact that the tax rate depends substantially also from the mix of different countries where you are making profit. So typically when you have an income pre-tax that is not so large, the mix, the geographical effect or the effect of having different mix in the different countries could impact in the tax rate. So if in the future we will have the same mix in terms of countries as we had in 2007, I can confirm here that I expect that to keep this 36%. To be prudent and forecasting a potential different mix, we have put a range between 36 and 38.
Okay, but in Hong Kong, I mean, your Asian business does benefit from a lower tax rate, right?
Yeah, in Hong Kong, we have the benefit of a lower tax rate because in Hong Kong, we have a subsidiary there. So we don't use in any part of the world any company in any fiscal country that can benefit our total tax burden. So So each time, and we have only two companies in fiscal paradise, are only these companies are operating companies selling in the countries, as we are we have in Hong Kong.
And that's the last question on the retail EBITDA margin.
I don't remember the question was about this about 2008.
Oh yes. You said low single digit in 2007, and you said high single digit for 2008.
Correct. For 2008, we expect to be in the high single digits with the EBITDA for the entire chain. I just want to specify one thing: we finished the year with 185 stores, we believe. Last year, we are at right now about 260-270. Mm-hmm. We expect to be slightly over 300 by the end of the year. So our growth is significant.
And therefore, for your wholesale business, if you're guiding for 15% total EBITDA margin, you're expecting around 20 basis point increase in your wholesale EBITDA margin. Is that correct?
No, it doesn't. As you say, 20?
I said the 20 basis point increase, yeah.
Yeah. In the wholesale business, we expect from different actions an increase of profitability between 50 and 60 basis points that will be partially compensated by around 2-3 million euros of extra cost for the startup of the Chinese production. So at the end, the net of the two is close to the 2030.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Alex Field of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just had one quick question on the notes again. If you were to call them, would you need to refinance your existing bank facility, or would you look at simply increasing the size or using your short-term credit lines or perhaps taking on some more long-term debt?
Yeah, well, we don't need to rediscuss the existing line, particularly the senior loan. The fact that we have already a senior loan with extremely good conditions and that some of the requests that we received were also to rediscuss this senior loan lead us to be careful about what we could do in the future. So our intention is to keep the actual senior loan as it is and to work on an additional debt that should replace the note. And this is a part of the discussion that we have in this moment with the potential lenders.
Okay, and related to that, I mean, under the current conditions, would you be looking for an improvement before you would think of doing that? Or do you think you could do something under current conditions?
An improvement compared what, sorry?
An improvement in the market, the debt market.
If we see an improvement, well, good question. It's difficult to answer to this question. What we are, again, is the rediscussion of the high yield is a complex situation that has a different effect both on expectation for the market in the future, on the size of the timing of the rediscussion of a previous senior loan. So this is the reason why in this moment we don't want to give any guidance to the market in terms of what will happen on the 15th of May. The only important message is that, again, I don't want to repeat, but we have a total freedom to do whatever is the best for the company.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions registered at this time.
Are there any additional questions from the room? Okay, there are no more questions, so we thank you. We thank all of you for participating and for attending the call, and the next set of results are just the confirmation of the full year 2007. We anticipate that we won't hold any conference call as we don't expect result to differ to what we just presented today. Thank you.